Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yeah, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St. Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does. The great ones, they're different. They really are. Not better, just different. Sure, there's a physical power, a mental strength, a complex but resolute constitution too. There's a whole lot more than just the measurables. That's something else, that intangible. It separates us from them. Welcome to the Legend Series on Andy Raymond Unfiltered. For this guy, it started in a hurry, ended in a hurry too. In between, few have ever seemed more relaxed, comfortable with pressure. Made it appear like whatever was happening was meant to. But there were doubts, inner doubts, that he'd overcome. But who is Michael Morgan?
Thing I'm most proud of now is being a father.
Yeah.
Being a dad. So, and the timing of that happening was... my daughter was 6 months old when I finished playing, so it was really good transition for me through that period of my life, finishing footy and having something to, not something, but, you know, a little daughter to keep me busy from 6 months old. So it really, really helped with my transition after footy, and, yeah, that's what I'm most proud of. So I'm a dad, yeah, and I like to think I'm a pretty good one.
And it's far more important than putting the boots on a weekend.
It is. It really is. I mean, it's more it's more satisfying than, you know, seeing her, well, the kids grow, and each, they're always learning, they're always doing something different. I mean, don't get me wrong, footy gives you the highest of highs ever. And it was only the other day in the lead up to the grand final, I thought, oh, I'd love to be able to do that again. And I thought to myself, am I kidding? I wasn't in a grand final every year anyway. Yeah. So, you know, you're potentially missing those parts. And I just, you know, moved on with my life after that. But they're always there. They're dependent on you. Yeah, like I said, I love nothing more than being a dad.
Tackle five. This is the last. It's bounced away to Thurston. Comes up Blair. Got rid of Blair. Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. It's a try.
Well, if you don't believe in fairy tales, we might see the giant fairy tale of all time here right now with Thurston, a kick from the sideline to win a premiership for the Cowboy.
Can he do it?
It looks to me as though it's taken the steelwork. What else can this grand final provide?
Wow.
The most dramatic grand final.
Mate, going to do this interview a little differently, but that moment, that grand final, I know you're sick of talking about it probably because you did so much more in your career than just setting up a try, but what do you remember of the moments leading up to that and after that pass?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't mind talking about it, and I love grand final time because it starts getting shown again. So I'm glad that looking back now, you know, after – that year and then the later years of my career as I kept playing, I didn't ever really appreciate it or look at it and think too much of it. It's not until I finished playing that I actually looked back at my career, and I think it's cool now that I have a moment that, you know, was a big moment in a game, in an important game. So I'm grateful now that that's happened. It was good. But look, to be honest, the actual moment itself, it feels like it happens so quick.
Yeah.
The adrenaline's flowing. I honestly, my thoughts were that if JT kicks it, I thought he might kick it to that side. I didn't know what he was going to do. It was the last tackle. It was going to be the last play of the game. So when he started going backwards, I just thought, all right, he needs to be able to get rid of the ball. So that was my first thought. Got behind the ball. He threw it to me. And then my first thought was, do I kick it? Do I just kick it for Felty and, you know, we have a crack and see how we go? Because the defensive line was so far away, I thought, all right, well, I'll keep running. And there was more space. Keep running, keep running. I was able to just keep running. So they'd shut us down that whole game, their left edge defense, and they were on the whole game. We went close a couple of times, but they managed to stop it. So that was in the back of my mind as well, that we hadn't broken them yet. So as I said, kept running. And as Jack Reed sort of turned out and spun back the other way, I was able to keep the ball in my right hand and obviously flick it to Felty. And I don't remember seeing him put it down. I sort of got... Sort of as I got tackled, I didn't get a good view of it. But I've seen a photo where it looks like I'm looking at it, but I just don't remember it. So, again, all the adrenaline and everything like that. So when I saw them celebrating, I thought it must have been good, but I had to watch the screen to make sure that we actually got it too. So, that's my memory of it, bits and pieces of it anyway.
Am I right in saying the week prior to the grand final, you actually asked Matt Scott, should you change your ball-carrying technique because you wanted to be able to pass right to left more easily?
Well, I naturally carry the ball in my left hand.
Yeah.
And being on the right side of the field, that's hard if you're trying to beat the inside defender with a fend. So we had a conversation that week. I think we were training at Leichhardt. I said, I really want to be able to hold in my other hand so I can, try and fend with my left, but it just always felt a bit weaker. And that happened from early in my career. I had a couple of left shoulder problems. So I trained myself to hold in my left all the time. And I used to play on the left side too. Yep. So it suited me anyway with the right fence. So when I went to the right side of the field, it wasn't ideal. I just managed. It was just a reaction thing, I think. I didn't plan on trying to hold it in my right hand. It was just a reaction at the time.
Let's rewind the clock. Where did the footy journey begin, mate?
Here in Townsville. So I grew up, I played for Townsville Brothers growing up. Yep. They were purely because I was, I think, 10 years old at the time. My brother was, older brother was 12. My younger brother was 8. And Dad came home from work one day, must have seen all the kids out training. He said, come on, let's go down to Brothers and do you want to play footy?
Wow.
And it was as simple as that. We went down, signed on and, kept playing. I was actually playing junior basketball at the time too. And after a couple of years, it got to a point where I had to choose between the two. Yeah. And I didn't get too tall, so luckily I chose footy.
How did the brothers go at footy?
They were good, actually. Yeah, my older brother, he was really good through high school. He was in the he made Aussie schoolboys in under-15s. And then he was in the under-20 system before I did. And then I joined while he was still in there as well. He didn't play too many games. I think he enjoyed having a beer instead of sort of committing as much as he should. He played front row too. So he was a skillful front rower, who, you know, if he put in the time and effort that it needed, I think he could have kept playing. But as I said, he sort of hung out with his mates who weren't doing that, who weren't playing footy and had a bit too much fun.
Let's go to 2010, round 9. I remember it. I was there. It was a Monday night footy against the Roosters. A big win for you guys. Do you remember much of debut night?
Absolutely nothing. No?
No.
And it's a weird thing. I mean, it's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
But you'd think being the big moment in your life and that kind of thing. But I remember sitting on the bus going to the game. I know that I was extremely nervous. I remember the drive into the game, walking in, but no actual parts of the game itself. I think I remember throwing a forward pass, and the other part I remember is throwing a ball to Willie Tonga and he scored, so I got a try assist. But other than that, I don't really remember much of it, and I've never really watched it.
Okay.
So I don't know how to find a copy of it anyway, even if I wanted to. But yeah.
Older, the senior players in the modern game are really good and so important to the younger guys. Which senior players were good for you and why? The ones that, I don't know, maybe gave you some advice, settled you down or looked after you?
Yeah, there were a few. Matty Bowen was really good because he's quite reserved when you see him, you know, in public and that kind of thing. Like he can come off a shy, but within the playing group, he was a little bit of a pest and a class clown in a way, very cheeky and funny. Yeah. So he was always good because he got along with everyone really easily. JT was good. Look, to give him a lot of credit too. So as an 18-year-old, he took his time out to always say hello to the younger guys. He would, you know, I remember my debut game. I roomed with him, and I thought that was awesome. He wasn't playing, but he came down for the trip purely to help me, I think, and make sure I was okay. So he roomed with me. I remember I told my younger brother that I was rooming with him, and he said, "Oh, can you get me some of his boots?" So I was nervous to ask, but so he didn't care. He signed them and gave them to my brother. But yeah, he was really good in just, you know, I thought it was awesome, just sort of getting to know him, but he actually made an effort to get to know me as well, which I thought was really cool. So I was quite lucky.
Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pirtek Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds are donated to Pirtek's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St. Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pirtekfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference just like Pirtek does.
Who are you in the halves with that night? Grant Revelli.
Yeah.
No pressure. Michael, you're on debut replacing Jonathan Thurston, who's injured.
Yeah, it was... And I found it was a Monday night game, which I used to hate Monday night games. And I found out the Monday before, so I was nervous all week, had to watch every game over the weekend, waiting for it. And yeah, in the end, I was just glad we won. Yeah.
Initially, tough time at the Cowboys, but most, I think, knew something special wasn't far away. But those first few years, frustrations, I reckon, for a lot of you. Fair call?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's frustration because I think the potential was there.
Yeah.
It just wasn't put together on a consistent basis, I guess. Yeah. So that year, 2010, I think I played four games. I think the club came second last because Melbourne lost their points, so saved us from a wooden spoon. And then 2011 finals. I know that 2012 was finals because that was my first final series, yeah. Yeah, and then obviously, a couple of years later, ended up winning it, or a few years later. So that's what I mean. The potential was there, and that's probably what was frustrating about it.
2014, one of the all-time great games. I remember where I was. Cowboys-Roosters in the semi-final, 31-30 they won. I think they may have led 30-0, and you guys came back to 30-all, and then they kicked a field goal. This was... semi-final footy at its best. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do, because I didn't have a very good game that night. I was playing fullback, and I think I had a couple of errors that I thought were 50-50s that went against me. Probably biased, but yeah, no, it was a terrible first half into a very good second half, obviously. And then we had a try disallowed to win it at the end.
You're most known as a 5'8". You wore five jerseys over your career. As you said, you played a full season at one. You played a lot more centre than people probably realise, and you wore six and seven. Very different in the modern game, those three positions or four positions, very different.
Yeah, it's funny. I played all of my footy, obviously, started out in the halves. The Cowboys had a year at fullback because Cootie went down in 2014, went back into the halves in 2015, but I only played centre. The highest level I'd ever played centre at was in the Q Cup for the Mackay Cutters. And I'd never really played in the middle. I played a little bit at lock at the Cutters as well. So it was weird because then when I go to Origin, I'd got picked in the centres or I'd go on off the bench in lock position. So Yeah, which was tough because going from being in the halves or, you know, you're not in the middle defending, yeah, that kind of thing. So it was a completely different game when I'd come on in the middle, trying to make all those tackles. But and the centres too, I thought it was – I was stoked to get picked. And then when I was in the centres, I was pretty nervous because, like I said, I'd only played then kick up before. So that was the highest level I'd played in the centres. So, yeah, but, you know, when you get those opportunities, you don't want to – you're not going to pass on them. You're not going to say, I don't want to play because I don't want to play in the centres. I was just happy to be there.
You reckon you could have got used to fullback? I think you and one would have been sensational.
I loved playing fullback. Yeah. It still probably is my favourite position, I think. Yeah. But, you know, what I was always a, you know, whatever the team dynamic is, if it means I'm in the halves and that's okay. We actually started 2015 and I was at fullback the first 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then we made some changes because we'd lost three in a row.
Yeah.
So we made some changes. I went back to 5'8" and Cootie came back into the team and, it was good from there.
In and around this time, I mean, you're establishing yourself, you're establishing your spot in the club, and you personally were forced to live through everyone's worst nightmare, the tragic passing of Alex Elisala. You're 22, 23... one of your best mates passes before his time. Do you still think about that?
Yeah, I do. I do actually, because last year we were 30, so it made me think, you know, what would he be doing now at 30 years old? He did miss out on a lot, and that's the thing about it. There's so much life to live after that age. So we were 21 at the time.
Yep.
And it affected – I don't want to say that – I don't want to sound like, you know, for me, it affected my career and that kind of thing. It was a tough year and
absolutely,
it put things in perspective from footy. Footy didn't all of a sudden didn't seem that important anymore for obvious reasons. And so it was a difficult time. It was a difficult time for the club. Alex and I had been mates since he got to Townsville. We were in year 10 at Iggy Park. So it was a bit a shock. That's what – when you look back now, like emotionally I'm okay with it because it's been so long and time, I believe it, because of that. Happened that time heals everything, and eventually, you know, you things do turn and things do get better. But unfortunately, he didn't get to experience, you know, being a dad, something I loved, and he would have been very good at it. And those milestones along the way through life,
If we're trying to be positive and brave, which we have to when we have discussions like this, Alex's passing, the passing of Masesi Fodowaker around the same time, it probably really shone the light on player welfare, on mental health and the need to be better. That's a positive.
Yeah, it is. It is. If you're looking for – there's always a – you can always find a positive in a tough situation, I think. And that's one thing. The amount of pressure that some young guys are under to not – you know, some people or – yeah, people out there assume that if you have an NRL contract, it means you got a lot of money and you're rich.
Yeah.
At 21 years old, just because you have an NRL contract doesn't mean you're earning a great deal of money. And I know it has increased over the years, which I think is a good thing, but the pressure on some people to then provide for their family as well as themselves, I think that's difficult. Yeah. And then when, you know, whether it be off contract and there's not a lot out there and the pressures, you're also dealing with, you know, serious girlfriends, you've been able to drink it for, you know, for the first part, that part of your year is the first time you're legally allowed to, you know, drink, and that heightens emotions, I guess. And so it's a difficult period for people, that age, to, I guess, navigate that part of their life, where they're at, where they're expected to be one by, you know, a certain point. And you can see why some people think it all can be too much.
I was there for your debut, as we spoke about earlier. I got a real kick out of seeing you go from nervous kid into what I consider, anyway, absolute complete professional. You're always very calm. You showed a maturity. Is that just professionalism? Is that what professionalism is? A young bloke that has to just have an old head on their shoulders?
Maybe. I mean, it's weird because you don't – it's all through experience, I guess. You look at it, the term resilience that people like to use. He's a resilient player, but you don't just have that. Like, you need to go through tougher times to get on the other side of it, and that's how you build resilience. And it's probably the same with that. I was 18. The highest level I'd played at when I made my NRL debut was under 20. So I'd only played against 20-year-olds. I'd never played against men. So it was a it was a big jump for me physically and mentally, I guess, the week to week of it. So it was a challenge, and we touched on earlier the good leaders that I had around me at that time and continued to have throughout my career. And so I was in a position where I got to learn off a lot of different people, whether that be Neil Henry was my first coach, Paul Green was second coach, Mal was a very good coach, you know, JT, Matt Scott, those guys. Then you're going to an Origin camp and there's Billy Slater, Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, those guys. So you're always learning off different people and trying to take in good attributes from each person, I guess, and try and replicate them in your own way. Something I never wanted to do was try and copy anyone else and that kind of thing. Yeah. So it was more about...
But you pick up things, don't you?
You do. You pick up things along the way. And all of those players had a common theme that they were... And coaches, they were, when they needed to be, they were calm. They could, you know, look at a process that was on the, you know, you're doing video if it's something like that, or speaking to people, speaking to media. You need to have a level head in what you're doing and take in the things, the information that's needed. And at a younger age, it's just hard to do, I think.
Are you a relaxed guy naturally, or is that something that you work on that bled across to your profession?
No, I am pretty relaxed naturally. I'm not a extrovert by any means. Yeah, that's for sure.
Footy seems irrelevant when you talk about important issues like we just have. We'll try and move back to your career. 2015, we've touched on. We will again later, but that year also was your first Origin jersey. Tell us about that experience and that emotion.
Yeah, I loved it. It was the best. It was funny, though. I got called in because Daly got ruled out with injury. So, and the boys had – so they got called in the camp maybe the Monday and I got there on the Tuesday, for example. It was one of those. It was around that, you know, the week before. And they had been out for a beer the night before. So I flew down and then Mal and Steve Walters picked me up from the airport. We drove to Mal's place. I hadn't spoken to Mal at this point. So Pari was footy manager at the time, and Greeny, they told me that I'd been picked. I thought, oh, how good is this? And they said, this is your flight. So I'm like, sitting in the airport. I'm like, I haven't heard from anyone yet, but we'll see. And then fly to the airport, box picked me up, drove to Mal's place, picked up Mal, said g'day, introduced myself, and then we drove to the Gold Coast together because that's where camp was.
The best footy and life talk there is. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Legend Series. The Rugby League Superpod comes out later in the week and the Dream Team Series on a weekend. Four podcasts every week in season on the only podcast that talks with the game's biggest names, not about them. Now, isn't it about time you left that 5-star rating and review? Make sure you come back soon, Legends.